And I think we're live. Hello, welcome to episode number 4 of WP Cafe, a show where we chat with WordPress professionals about challenges, solutions, and ideas around WordPress development for solo and small WordPress development teams. My name is Keith Devon, and I'm today's host. I'm joined by my co-host Mark Wilkinson, and in this episode, we are pleased to welcome Steve Jones and Ross Wintle. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, thanks.
Good morning.
So we've called this episode, What Can WordPress Developers Learn from the Laravel Community and Ecosystem? So Mark and I know of Laravel, but we don't know a whole lot about it. And with Ross launching his Beyond WP newsletter, it sparked the idea of talking about something outside of the WordPress ecosystem and what we as WordPress developers can learn from other frameworks, tools, platforms. As always, we'll be keeping an eye on the comments for questions, so please add them in there. If you've got any questions, we'll put them forward during the show. And we'll do our best to do that live. Otherwise, we'll try to answer things kind of offline for you. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, Steve, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, I'm Steve Jones. I'm a musician and coder. I live in London. Doing WordPress kind of pretty much full-time since about 2010, and Laravel since I got into it just as it came out, so I sort of really got into it about 2015 or so. So pretty much similar timeline to Ross, I think. And I currently mix and match. I use Laravel for some things, and I use WordPress for others. And there are decisions to make as to which thing to go for. But that's it. So yeah, mostly developer at the moment, but still doing some music, hence my music gear all around me.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Dave. I'm Ross.
Yeah, hi, I'm Ross Wintle. I'm a software developer. My background, I started doing safety critical software development. So there's software of mine flying around in aircraft, sometimes above your heads, which is a bit scary. I then did some kind of corporate hosting stuff and ended up about 10 years ago going freelance as a software developer, working with WordPress, and about 5 years ago started adopting Laravel into my skill set as well.
Very cool. This should be a great conversation. I'm actually worried, so we've had a bit of a pre-show chat and there's some absolute gold, so hopefully it all gets regurgitated during the recorded part of the show. But yeah, it definitely bodes well for the conversation we're about to have. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Mark, do you want to get started with the questioning?
Yes.
Interrogation?
Morning, everyone. I'll get started with some questions. So I think the first thing that we really need to know, and I think that would help a lot of viewers, is like what actually is Laravel? So if you could describe what Laravel is, how would you describe what it is? Let's start with you, Ross.
Okay, so Laravel is what's called a software development framework. Oh, I've got a frog in my throat, hold on. Live on air. It's a software development framework. So it gives you the building blocks for creating applications. So whereas WordPress is an application that has been built, Laravel itself, when you install it, it gives you a certain amount of functionality, but it doesn't give you a complete application. So you could use Laravel to build something like WordPress, but it's not actually a WordPress itself. But if you think up a web application, something like a tool that you can log into that has users and data that it's processing and stuff that it's outputting with buttons and a user interface. That's the kind of thing that you would build from Laravel, and it gives you a decent set of building blocks to do that with.
Excellent. Anything to add there, Steve, or is that a good summary?
That's a good summary.
Excellent. Yeah. Cool. Okay, then. So that's what Laravel is. Thank you for that. That gives me a better understanding as well. I'm sure it does to Keith as well. And hopefully you guys watching. So how is developing with Laravel different to developing with WordPress? So is there any specific software or tools or things that you need that you might not have if you're a standard WordPress developer? Steve?
So the WordPress development largely revolves around plugins and themes. So you are developing a custom theme, and you are developing plugins. Aside from that, you're just turning various things on and off and using filters to modify what's all the stuff that's already there. So WordPress is this big thing, and it gradually gets morphed into what it becomes at the end. Laravel is none of that. It's just, as Ross says, it's a set of tools and ideas that you have to build yourself. So that is a completely fundamental different starting point. It uses a command line quite a lot in it. It's got a lovely thing called Artisan, which you use to generate what we call models. So I'm building a record store at the moment. At one point, I'll create the model for what a record is, and that'll have properties like the title, the artist, and so on.
Yep.
But I just build that, type a little command, and then I flesh it out, and then Laravel will give me ways to understand how to represent that on the thing. So it's just, it's a lot more hands-on.
Okay.
You do have to do a lot more work to sort of build up your structure, and I think have a bit more of an idea of what you're trying to do. So while WordPress gives you all the tools out of the box and a lot of third-party plugins and stuff, Laravel, you're pretty much up to you to design exactly how your app is going to behave and how it's going to look.
Yeah. Okay. So would you say that you have to understand more like computing and command line stuff, or can anyone go with it?
It's extremely easy, and one thing I really like about Laravel is actually the documentation is very good.
Okay.
There are a lot of I always love examples when I'm looking at docs, because at the minute I'm really struggling with WordPress documentation, I have to say. Since the sort of Gutenberg era, it's become incredibly confused and messy. I find that really hard. I think Laravel have nailed that. That's one big take home for me. I think you can go to the Laravel documentation, find what you're looking for, see an example, it'll tell you how to use it, and it's really simple, and they've got very good onboarding steps.
Okay.
And I don't think you need to understand computing at all. And there are some that are incredibly simple, like Ross described how there's a whole scaffolding for authentication, and it's one line. You just type in auth roots, and that's it. Everything you need for authorization is done, including, if you need it, some front end templates. Mm. So there's quite a lot of hand holding.
So when you type that command in, does it like copy some files somewhere, or what does it actually do in the background? Does it?
Well, one of the criticisms about Laravel is that it's got this kind of godlike classes behind. So there's some code going on behind that there's no way on God's green earth I could ever understand exactly what's going on under the hood. Stuff happens, and you end up with a whole authentication framework. I don't actually know what happens in the
interim.
Ross probably would know exactly how that works, but
I think WordPress developers are used to that, aren't they? We use functions and classes and things, and yeah. I don't think not anyone knows how to use them, but a lot of people don't exactly know what's going on in the background. But
they just know what it does.
We know what they do, so I think that's fine. Have you anything to add there, Ross?
I think the command line generators. If anyone's ever used WPCLI with the scaffold command, you can like scaffold a plugin. So if you have used WPCLI, then the command line tools in Laravel are very much like that. Or if you've ever done a create Gutenberg block or downloaded a like a starter kit or something, then Laravel's generator commands very much like that. So you say, I want to create a new type of this thing inside Laravel, and it will sort of build the scaffolding of it for you and give you the empty files ready to fill in. And I think the other thing that I'd add is it does help if you understand command line and a tool called Composer, which is what's called a dependency manager. I think you won't get very far in Laravel without knowing a bit about how Composer works and what it does. So that's a bit of the initial learning curve. And I think also you probably need to understand the data that you're working with. So Laravel does a great job of helping you create your own database. And one of the big differences, I think, going back to the original question, is that WordPress comes with a database that you can build your own tables if you want to, but it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Whereas Laravel gives you pretty much nothing in terms of a database. So you have to define all your data models, and you have to define what the database structure is before you can start working with it. And that has the downside that, you need to understand the databases and you need to do that data modeling, which if you're building something that's not a blog or a website, you'll need to do in WordPress as well anyway. And the benefit of the way that Laravel does it in giving you nothing as a starting point is that it doesn't have stuff that you don't need. So I'll quite often use Laravel for building something where I don't need users, for example, or where I don't need posts and pages.
Or comments, yeah.
So rather than going in and turning a load of stuff off that you don't need, I start with a clean slate, and I can build up to only the stuff that I do need.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
I think.
Sorry, Keith, are you going to ask something?
Yeah, no, I was just going to bring it bring it back up a little bit. Steve and Ross, you've both mentioned the word models, and I assume that is the M in MVC. And
yeah.
I think it's probably worth exploring that idea, because obviously I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with WordPress as a kind of platform because it doesn't use an MVC kind of, what's the right word? I was going to say model, but
pattern.
Yeah. Can either of you be happy kind of giving a brief explanation of what MVC means, why it's a good way to develop, and why WordPress doesn't use it, or like, you know, why there's that incompatibility with WordPress?
We could probably share this one. MVC stands for Model View Controller. Your model is kind of your data. So I've got a record. So take my example of the record thing. I have a data, this concept of a record. It's got a title, it's got an artist, it's maybe got an image path or something. And then at the end, I've got a view. And the view is at the end of the line, it's what the person will see. So it's literally, this would be maybe a cover of a record with the artist's name underneath. There's my view. And the stuff in the middle, kind of connects them. This is a very simplistic thing, but the middle of it is a controller.
Okay.
And then they're protected from each other. Model doesn't talk to the view, and the view doesn't talk to the model. But there's this controller in the middle that is able to sort of communicate back and forth. The next thing about it is that at the end of the line, the views are really stupid. They're dumb. They're just told what to do. They don't have any opinion. They're just like set up really nice and clean, and they're just displays. One thing that happens a lot in WordPress is that your templates, which are effectively your views, is what comes up at the end of the line, they end up getting splattered with a lot of logic, some business logic, and that is something which I certainly, from the beginnings of working with Laravel, it was one of my big learnings, was like, this doesn't seem quite right. I've really got to try and get this data further up the chain, and that led to a big change in the way that I do stuff, and there are ways we can talk about that. So WordPress just doesn't follow this pattern, really. I don't really get into the weeds, but there are some themes. I'm a big fan of Root's theme, because it's a bit like the Laravel of WordPress, in that it comes with just enough tools out of the box to get you up on your feet with a really nice, solid set of tools.
Yeah.
And their latest version is very Laravel-like, in that they've set up these controllers and that help you to get your data here and just spit it out to your views, so they aren't really worried about logic. So that's a really good thing. So that's my little nutshell.
Can I just ask? So you mentioned, and I hear this a lot, like there's a lot of logic in WordPress template themes. So you see that with like the loop and things like that, I guess. What's wrong with that? I hear that said as a negative thing. Why is that bad? Either of you.
I got to hand it to Ross. why is that bad, Ross?
So just a really good example. I'm working on a project at the moment that has like a progress bar. So we've got, it's working for a big charity, and they do campaigns. And so they've got like a petition or a fundraising goal, and they want to show the target that they're trying to get. So say they're trying to raise £10,000, and then progress bar that shows you how far they've got along. And so you could put all the logic for that in the template, where you're doing your calculations. So you're calculating, you're getting the data out of the database, and then you're doing the division and processing to work out how much of the progress you've made, and you've got the data for the total, and you've got the data and all that stuff in the template. And the trouble with that is that I might want to reuse that logic somewhere else. So what it's better to do, and if I create another template that wants to have that kind of logic in it, then I need to replicate that in the new template. So what my templates for this look...
Lost Ross. Oh no!
I think what he's trying to say is it's about like doing things once, isn't it? And making sure you only do it once in one place, and then you can reuse it.
Well, the idea is like, I'll give you a good example at the moment. I'm working in this record store, and I am writing many different ways to view. He's back. Pick him up.
Hi, Ross.
Sorry, do you want to carry on, Ross?
I've no idea where I dropped out. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
You were just talking about how if you want to have to rewrite everything.
Okay.
In a template. So.
So if you wanted to do that, you'd need to copy that logic into all the templates that have it. So my templates on this project, they literally just contain a variable that says like what would be fundraising goal and fundraising progress that just pull the variables out of the what's effectively the controller that's doing all the processing and logic. And then I can modify that logic. So if I need to modify that logic, let's say instead of displaying a percentage, I'm displaying some other kind of metric in my progress bar, then I just go into the controller and edit that, and I don't need to go and update all my templates. So it's separating, I want to display this variable, which goes in the template, from how is this variable calculated, because the result of that calculation might want to be used in more than one place.
Okay. So I'm just going to flesh that out again. So the example I was going to give you was, I'm doing this thing where you can view, imagine you've got a view selector, a sort of list view, a grid view, and a sort of iTunes kind of swipey left and right, one thing at a time. For you to take my records example, you want one view to be a list, one view to be a grid, and one view to be a one by one. With the, if you've got all your logic that dumps the data to your view here, it doesn't matter what you've written to display it at the end of the day. There's no logic in there. I could just write a completely new view to display it completely differently without having to worry about the logic disappearing. So I could spit the same record data, like a collection, what we call a Laravel collection of records, and they get rendered in a certain way. I don't really like that one. Take it away, write a new view, just go right. Yeah. Just render exactly the same content in a completely different way. So that's why it's what we call separation of concerns. You've got your logic and your data here, and you've got how it looks here.
Yeah.
And they're completely interchangeable and portable and movable. And that is really possible with WordPress too. I mean, if you start, again, with Sage theme makes it very easy, but add template, template redirect is your friend. You can do lots of stuff at that point in the process. And dump stuff out to your views that they don't need to worry about logic.
So it's also really handy.
Sorry, go ahead.
If I just chip in. So Mark, I know Mark is more back end and Keith is more front end. Yeah. So this separation of concerns is also really handy because Keith, you can be told, can you build a template? And the bits of information that go in this template are the content and this variable here and this thing here. And you can go away and write your template without having to be bothered about what Mark is doing. And Mark can then go and work on all the logic of generating what the content you're injecting into the template is, and it enables front end and back end to be separated effectively, which is great in a team where two people are doing those two different jobs. So I think there's that in there. And on the project that I was working on for this big charity, it was kind of magic that the client came along and said, we want to like completely change how the display of these progress bars work. And I could go in and I could update the template without having to be bothered at all by the logic that was in there, and it made updating the template really, really simple because we'd separated out all the calculations and numbers and data from the template and put it elsewhere. So it kind of felt magic that I could just update this template and everything just kind of worked.
I feel like this is kind of what Mark and I like try to get to when we're working. I think we do a decent job, we'll write functions that can be reused. Obviously, we try to keep our code as dry as possible. So we're not like, we don't have the same logic in multiple template parts and things like that. But I think what it'll take for us to kind of get to the full understanding is to actually try it. Cause I'm still sort of struggling to see the real advantages and like what you can't do with this, like in its kind of native state. I don't know.
Can I give an example project that,
please do.
That is very non-WordPressy that might help sort of demonstrate why you might use Laravel. So I built this thing. Do you remember when Brexit was a thing? I hate to bring it up, but it was a thing a couple of years ago in our country at least. And there was this massive petition on the government petitions website. So the UK government allow you to create petitions and people can sign the petition. And there was this one particular petition about Brexit that went like crazy, it got like 6 million signatures. Yeah. Back out of politics a bit, I was really intrigued by the data and how these petitions were growing in size. But the government don't keep, they give you the petition signatories now, but they don't keep the historical growth of the petitions. So I went, I want to build a thing that will query their open API to grab the current petition value every 5 minutes and then store it in a database, and then I can plot the graphs of the growth just because I wanted to analyze that data and see what it looked like. So like, could I have built that in WordPress? Well, yeah, you know, I could have created data points as a post type and created partitions as a post type and somehow use post meta to link them together. But, you know, over a period of 6 months that a partition runs, I create an awful lot of data points, which would be an awful lot of bits of post meta linking things together. I could have created a custom table to link the two entries of the post type together, or I could have used taxonomies or something. But just looking at it, nothing in WordPress kind of felt right. Plus, I didn't need logins or anything. I didn't need any users or authors or postal pages or comments or media or anything like that. So WordPress had a load of stuff that I didn't need, and it didn't have some things that I did need. So I've used Laravel. It's got really good system for doing like recurring jobs, so I can easily set up my jobs that run every 5 minutes to collect the data. It let me build my own very simple database from the ground up that had only the information in it that I needed and that was quick and efficient to run queries on. And it was a very non-WordPressy thing. And so that's the kind of thing where, okay, I can choose not, Laravel does actually come with authentication and user registration and login out of the box. You can, I think Steve said, with one line of code, you can set that up really quickly. But I didn't need any of that. So I left that at the side, built my simple database, built all the collection stuff that happened on top, and that was my app. And so that's kind of just an example of something where, okay, I want to build this, but WordPress really isn't the tool for the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a question. So it sounds as though you've got to do a lot of this yourself, which in many ways is a good thing, like you said, because you're not turning things off, you're just building what you want instead. Is there a risk of, like, a security risk that if you're creating everything yourself, it is just down to you to get it right? Whereas if I'm using something like WordPress and I'm using, well, just pick like the insert post function, for example, that is a tried and tested function that has been tested hundreds of thousands of times with different data, and it won't make a mess in the back end because it's sanitized, etc. Or are there things in Laravel that stop you doing things wrong like that?
Yeah, it's got a lot of framework to make sure that nonsense like that doesn't happen. I would argue it's more secure than WordPress.
Okay.
This sort of doing things yourself, it's not as difficult as it may seem. For example, building, when Laravel are describing themselves, they use the two words a lot, expressive and fluent. And that is actually, those are two words that I do think describe what it does extremely well. So if you are trying to flesh out a database, you won't type in one command line for what you're trying to build, and it creates a thing, it's called a migration, but it's effectively just a way of you telling what you want in your database. And it's just, everything's got a name. So you say, right, I want a string and it's going to be called name. I've got an integer, it's going to be that. I want some JSON, it's going to be called this. And it's got all these things, they're all built in, they're all documented.
Yeah, okay.
And then you just go art migrate, and it runs and it builds a database and everything works. And then you can do like build a controller that will have a classic sort of CRUD model, you know, the create, the update, delete, functions, and they all connect through database perfectly well. So it does have a lot of stuff out of the box that makes sure that and the security is solid.
Yeah, you're not writing PHP from scratch.
No, it's nothing like that.
Yeah, okay. What Laravel gives you is it calls itself a framework, so it gives you this layer of stuff that you can build your application with. So it comes with the ability to create and query your database, and all that is completely safe. So it does all of the escaping SQL queries and stuff like that for you. It does that. This authentication system that you can get out of the box that you can choose whether or not you use, that has rate limiting, which in Laravel 8 that's coming out today is like incredibly configurable. So you can just tweak some numbers in a config file and change your rate limiting. It comes with password reset and all that kind of stuff. What else does it come with?
Cookies.
Cookies, CSRF protection. It's very, very well thought out.
Sounds good.
It takes away having to think about, I know WordPress does the same. It takes away having to think about all that stuff because it does a lot of it for you. But equally, Laravel gives you those building blocks, and those building blocks are tried, tested, proven. They're running at large scale. They're running on, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of applications all over the place. And so it does give you those protections. You don't need to worry about a lot of those things, but it is helpful to understand what Laravel is doing in order to get the best out of those particular kind of features that it gives you to build with.
Yeah, I think that's good to know, because that's one of my like worries about moving away from WordPress, is that WordPress handles a lot of the stuff that I don't know quite well. Like, I don't really write SQL queries because I don't know. I mean, I could do it, and don't get me wrong, but it's not where my expertise is, if that makes sense. And that was what worries me about using Laravel, is that comfort blanket taken away.
No, it's not at all. In fact, one thing I really like about it is it does, you can go from here, zero knowledge of how to write a SQL query, to writing raw queries here, and there's everything in between. And that's something I quite like about it. It does make a lot of stuff extremely easy for you. For example, one thing I found nice at the start of working with Laravel was the ability to relate models to each other. So for example, I'm writing a thing at the moment to use this music app called Endless, and there are lots of users, and they all have lots of jams, and the jams have lots of tags, and those tags subsequently have good jams that they're associated with, and so on. Trying to structure this data model again in WordPress, like, it'd be a total nightmare. It would just be, you'd be mixing and matching custom post types and taxonomies, and then the taxonomy stuff. It just isn't really written well. But in Laravel, you could do one line, user, arrow, jams, and it will pull out all the jams. And it does all the relationship stuff for you, and it just makes it really easy. I haven't written a single query or a single line of SQL. No chance. But it is lovely and fluent for that.
I think it sounds like it's a bit different to what I thought it was, actually. I think it's probably worth a bit more investigation, because I took it as a blank canvas that you've got to do everything with, which is obviously not the case, which is like really interesting to know. We've had some questions, we've had some comments in the in the chat on YouTube, so thank you for those. And if you have any questions for our guests, or if you want to add to this discussion, then do jump in there. Someone mentioned in the new get template parts in WordPress where you can pass data to that. So it's a similar thing where you can send the data to the template part and then maybe keep the logic away from that, possibly. I don't know. That was a good one.
That's a good step.
Yeah, it's perhaps an in-between step maybe that helps and such. So, yeah. So,
yeah, I think we've been talking around the question of when to use WordPress, when to use Laravel. So I wonder if, like, is that just very intuitive for you guys? Do you know, like, if a project comes in, you're just like, that's definitely a Laravel project, that's definitely a WordPress project. What's the gray area, and how do you kind of decide which to go with? And then kind of question on top of that, can you actually use both at the same time on a project? Like, is there ever a space for that to happen?
Yeah, Mike, yes, just asked that question. Can Laravel?
I think I might have just started crying. Curious, I suppose, for an API, I think. don't get me wrong, WordPress is great. I really like it. I really love working with it. And because I love React, I like working as a React developer. And so when Gutenberg's just played right into my ballpark, and it makes me very happy. So I would just say, if it's a case where it's more or less a website or it's a web app and it's got navigation and it's got structure and it's got some users and things like that, I'll probably go with WordPress out of the box and just try and write some saucy plugins. But if there's a little bit more data modeling to do, or like Ross has said, there's just a bit more, I've got to get more hands-on with my data and the connections aren't just quite set up. But I suppose you do get an intuitive sense of it. I've never tried to use them at the same time. I don't think I would, actually.
Yeah, okay. So if there was a strong data element to a traditional website,
Well, I get this. So the thing I'm working on at the moment is a record store.
Yeah.
The record store is written in React, both admin side and front side. It's using really strong kind of authentication, OAuth thing, API authentication. Writing that in WordPress would have been a nightmare. Writing it in Laravel is one line of code, because they've got this thing called Passport again. That's just a full OAuth server. It's fantastic. I would find that really difficult in WordPress. Now, the record store, I probably could have written it in WordPress, but then I'd be thinking, right, do I want to use WooCommerce for this? But it just is too much You know, you just get a feel where you have to just tweak too much. You have to bend it. You're shoehorning stuff that isn't designed for purpose, and that's when it really starts to wind me up. And I just kind of get a feeling when that's going too far. Mm-hmm. And in that case, I will maybe consider Laravel. Turns out it has been a ton of work, like, to get this thing up and running, but it integrates with Stripe, like, really at a very low level. Mm. And I think, again, writing that in WordPress, it's going to be, you know, you could write a plugin for it or write some low-level code, but it's just not really well set up for it, you know?
Yeah, I think the big changing point for me was when the focus of WordPress seemed to change with Gutenberg, that a couple of years ago, Matt Mullenweg, the creator and of WordPress, he was talking about WordPress being this operating system of the web that you'd be able to build all sorts of things with it, and everybody would be using it to make everything. And then a few years later on, we're talking about Gutenberg, and we have this site builder and page builder, and it looks like all the things like the Fields API, which was kind of like advanced custom fields but built into WordPress core, ideas of doing that kind of thing all kind of evaporated and have been replaced by this page builder. So I'd very much do the same. You know, if I'm building a website, a business site, a blog, something which has content types and taxonomies, and I'm building the front end display of that, or where using an off the shelf theme is really helpful, or even e-commerce. You know, WooCommerce is fantastic, absolutely fantastic tool. That's where I'm going to use WordPress. But I do have these conversations with clients sometimes where they say, you know, I want to build a membership site that sells memberships and allows people to log in and get content for free or paid. And, oh, I want this thing to happen over here, and I want admins to be able to do this thing. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, there was that big review that Chris Lemmer did of 30 membership plugins a while back, and I could pick any one of those, and it probably wouldn't quite do everything that we need it to. So I'm going to go back to the client. I'm going to say, well, we can use this tool to build your membership site, but you know, we're working within the limitations of what it gives us, and if we want to step out of those limitations, we're gonna find we're fighting with it somewhat. And sometimes with those jobs, the simplest of requests becomes a really, really tricky thing, because the plugin that you're trying to use to do the thing, like, just doesn't let you put that bit of information at that position on the screen, or so it's that kind of thing where I might reconsider, and not necessarily use Laravel, but there are other great content management systems that are much more flexible and allow you to relate content together more easily and build something that you just have that little bit more control over. And I think you do develop a sense over time of which is which. But typically these days, WordPress is blogs, business sites, e-commerce, and not trying to push too far beyond that unless I can get the client to agree to the limitations of what the plugins are doing.
Interesting.
I think I was muted. Okay, we have talked a lot about actually sort of WordPress versus Laravel, and I guess the conversation was almost supposed to more be like, what can WordPress developers learn from Laravel? But before we get to that, so we'll pretend for the last kind of half hour of the show that I'm never going to use Laravel, but what can I learn from it? But before we do that, there's a couple of questions I just like to come in from the viewers that I just like to kind of cover. The first here from Michael Bragg. Let's see if I can get that up on screen. Yeah, there we go. So he says, can Laravel apps talk to WordPress? For example, a content/product importer, removing the need for a plugin? Does anyone want to take that?
Yeah, I didn't answer the question about could you use WordPress and Laravel together. So I think you can. I mean, I've seen various attempts to do that. I've seen there's a package that lets your Laravel app directly query the WordPress database. Mm. So you can have WordPress database and a Laravel database, and a Laravel app which queries both, which is an interesting way of doing it, but that exists. I know you could use the WordPress API, the REST API, to pull content from WordPress into a Laravel app. Mm. So you can use WordPress for content management of an application. display that content on a website and web application that's driven by a single instance of Laravel. So that's another possibility. I forgot the question. What was the question?
Can Laravel apps talk to WordPress, removing the need for a plugin?
Okay. Yeah. So you could. You can pull stuff using the WordPress REST API into Laravel, or
you could go the other way around.
You could also do it the other way around. You could build an API in Laravel for managing your data, and you can pull that across into WordPress. So one thing I've done, I built this stupid thing for my school called Schoolbot, which is a chat bot that you can ask questions like, what are the term dates and what's for lunch today of my primary school? And that's got a Laravel backend with a database that stores all that information in a structured format. And then I built a WordPress plugin, which has short codes which let you display the term dates or the meals from today on a WordPress website using short codes. And it's pulling that information from a Laravel backend database through a Laravel API into a WordPress short code in a template. So you can do exactly that.
Cool. Very good. Thank you. And then one last question for now. I'll pull that up on the screen. Oh, I think I just ditched it again. This is from Ashley Redman. He says, thoughts. I am usually a strong user of Timber and or Sage. However, recent projects, I've looked more into Gutenberg and I'm super impressed. Does Gutenberg skew the lines on this? Does anyone kind of...
Presumably skew the lines on Timber and or Sage.
Yeah, whether you need to use that or can use it, I guess. I think that's what Ashley's asking.
So in terms of templating, no, I don't think so. I think you can. So one learning, we'll eventually come to what can you take out of Laravel and pull into like your WordPress development career. One thing I've really learned from Laravel that I kind of was doing in WordPress, but seeing how people did it in Laravel really made it make a lot more sense to me. And I think because of the separation of concerns we were talking about earlier, they do a lot of stuff with partials. So where you break down your parts of your template into quite small components and have them in a hierarchy. And I recently built a WordPress custom theme using the Sage from the Roots project, the Sage 9 template. And all my Gutenberg blocks in there were just little partials. So I think they actually work really well in tandem, that especially if you're building your blocks in sort of backend PHP using something like advanced custom fields, or if you're using something like the Sage templating, the ideas from the Laravel world can really help you see how that can work effectively.
Yeah, and actually Sage 10, which is... I'm not sure it's fully released yet, but I did a project with it quite recently, just because I've been a big fan of Sage for many years, and I've used it for every project I've built in WordPress for, like, I don't know, years and years. And Sage 10, it really is starting to look like Laravel. They've really adopted a lot of the Laravel stuff. For example, building all your scripts and everything uses a thing called Laravel Mix, which is a very simple and easy to understand build script.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
So it's really, really nice. It's dead easy to understand. Mm. And you look at a Laravel Mix thing and it's really, really nice. I highly recommend it.
Is that like an equivalent to something like Gulp or Grunt or something?
Yeah, but it's incredibly simple to understand. So if you've got like mix.js brackets, and then that'll compile your JavaScript and all your ES6 or whatever you're doing, then you can put dot. So it is a bit like Gulp, but it's just really nice and it's modern. It's all built. It's like a layer on top of Webpack, but anyone understands Webpack, good luck to you. Not me. I just fill in stuff, but Laravel Mix is actually a really nice one. And they have got some of the Laravel principles that are helping you get your views a little bit more separated from your logic. And Sage 10 does a really nice job of that. It uses Laravel's templating engine called Blade, and that allows you to pass data into views. It's got a thing called View Composers, which is a really lovely way of, for example, a View Composer would be something like building a navigation bar. You'd have your View Composer, which would just do all the logic and data and pass stuff onto a view just to display your nav. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to explain this, and I'm not going to get into the detail, but it's worth a look. And I'm just really surprised by how much of their of the Laravel kind of engine, especially for front end, that's crept into it. And I think it's crept in because it's good, you know. Yeah. So it's worth it if you want to dabble, if you want to dabble with Laravel in WordPress world. Sage 10 is probably a good place to start. Yeah. It'll also get you familiar with the Composer world, which we also discussed there.
Yeah.
Composer's great, and once you get into that, you'll never go back. So I would say anybody who's curious about these concepts, that maybe dabbling with Sage 10 or even 9 to get into the templating, you'll find that it will make life a bit easier in certain respects.
Has Gutenberg got us? I think we sort of half covered this in a previous question, but has Gutenberg got us closer to the kind of ideal pattern or like Laravel kind of world, or is it?
Because you're just spitting out a view.
Yeah.
I suppose you could argue that it has. Yeah. It's all done in the back end, but then again, the logic and the business side of that is all living elsewhere and plugins.
Yeah.
And
I was shaking my head there because if you're building using like pure Gutenberg, then all your data is just stored in your HTML comments in your post content. And I don't know that I don't mean to hate on Gutenberg because it's brilliant at what it does, and the development team are just incredible at what they're doing with it. But you know, that's not where structured data should live to me. It should be structured data in the database. Structured. So
I still haven't figured out how to update stuff. You know, it's very painful. I use server rendering still because stuff just keeps not updating for me, and I can't cope with it.
Yeah.
And I think going back to the question about Gutenberg, I think it depends how you're developing your Gutenberg blocks. If you're going into React and JavaScript and developing custom native Gutenberg blocks that way, then you're at one end of a scale. And I think sort of server rendered, more Laravel type stuff and Sage type stuff that we're talking about is very much at the other end of a scale. Mm-hmm. And I think probably WordPress developers are headed one way or another. So they're either like learning the JavaScript deeply and heading off into React world and doing that stuff. And that's great if you want to be doing site building, page building stuff using advanced Gutenberg. But again, I'm someone who loves taking data and manipulating data and mashing it up to do interesting things with it. And that's all still for me happening on the back end. You can do that with JavaScript using Node, but my tool of choice, because I know PHP, is Laravel.
Cool. I want to come back to Composer because Mark had a rant this morning about Composer, and I want to get him, give him the opportunity to do that again. Live on air.
Come on. Do it here. Rant us.
It's not really about, it's just generally, isn't it, Mark, about like build tools and like, yeah, go for it.
Well, I'll set the scene. So a client got in touch and said that I've got this install of WordPress, which was using, and I don't know what the right terminology is, Bedrock, Root, Sage, something like that. It was all set up in different folders and everything. And they wanted to put it back to a standard WordPress install because their host wouldn't support it. They wanted to take advantage of the managed hosting where they could do the updates, they could have a staging site, they could do all that stuff that they wanted to use. And the host said, well, your app's just not the right format. We can't support that, which is absolutely fair enough. So I said, okay, well, we'll have a look at it and we'll try and convert it back to doing for you, which was actually relatively easy until you find out that the theme is kind of using some sort of ACF builder thing that's pulled in through Composer that then relies on this and this relies on this and this relies on this. And it all goes, and I can't just sort of like, I have to then delve into the world of Composer. And it just makes what would be a simple task massively complicated in my world. And yeah. If you understand Composer, I'm sure it's just like, well, it's simple. But if you don't, it just seems to be complicating it where it doesn't need to be for me. But I know, tell me why I'm wrong, I guess,
No, I think you're right. So I think there are two ways to build WordPress things. One is where you are building some kind of big site or application where you know you're going to be in control of it. You're going to have a retainer contract for maintaining it, that it's your thing, and you don't really have plans to hand that on to somebody else or to have it taken out of your hands. It's like, it's your thing, you made it, you're maintaining it, and it's a big self-contained app. In which case, things like Sage and Twig and Timber and Lumberjack and all the composer driven stuff where you put your WordPress fully inside your your Git repository, that's where I see that being intended for. And actually, in my day-to-day work, I do very little of that kind of stuff because it doesn't work for the kind of projects that I work on in WordPress. The other way is to say, well, I'm going to build a site for a client. It's a short, you know, 3 or 4 month project. I'm going to build it. I don't know what's going to happen to it once I've made it. Maybe some other developer takes it on. And in that case, yeah, sure, you're going to stick to the WordPress way. I think that's the best thing to do because you're not necessarily going to be maintaining it in future. You don't know what knowledge the person that is going to be maintaining it in future is. You don't know if it's going to move hosts and all those things that you're struggling right now with. They're all questions. So I think you need to evaluate where you are with those.
I think that's a really responsible way of explaining it but I think the problem is that clients aren't told that. So this client will have purchased this site off developer X and Y. They're buying a WordPress website. So why on earth wouldn't I be able to put this on a managed WordPress host that hosts millions of WordPress websites and is well known in the community? They didn't know that. They had no clue. And I think that sometimes is the problem, actually.
Yeah, I think that's the fault of the agency doing the build. And
I'm probably the agency building. It's the problem.
My worst case of this was I took over maintenance of a small site for a medium-sized charity that had been built on a pro bono basis by a large marketing agency using like their own custom bedrock thing
before.
That they'd taken one of these packages and then made it their own more. You know, I had to do the job that you're doing. I had to unravel all of that. And it was a nightmare. And why a pro bono WordPress build for a medium-sized charity was done in that way, I have no idea. I think that was the wrong way to build that particular thing.
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. And I do feel your pain, Mark. I've been in that position before. But I always check first because the roots build, or if you're doing the roots thing, you need to kind of get your whole thing a level above where you would normally put a directory just from a security thing. It uses this particular thing. And that can be difficult in certain hosting situations. So I always check first. I say, look, where are you planning to look after this? And I think Ross has summed it up perfectly. Unless you've a really good reason to do it otherwise, just use the kind of standard WordPress thing. You can still use a Sage theme. You don't have to use all the Bedrock stuff. But I guess I had to do it for Barry's Bootcamp, which is this big international fitness chain. We built their site originally using Roots and Bedrock, etc. And then they wanted to put it on WP Engine, which doesn't support it. So we had to just revert it. But I don't remember being, I think it's because I built it. I didn't find it hard. It was just like, okay, I moved up there and that there, and that's it, done.
Of moving all the folders back to where they should be isn't the problem.
Yeah, it was something about ACF. Which I don't use.
And I think coming back to the original conversation, spending some time with Laravel, even if it's just, you know, tinkering in your spare time, just like going, well, how do I install Laravel? What's the command line to do that? What does Composer do when I do that install? How does it work? That knowledge is something that has really benefited me because now when I'm working in WordPress world on a project that's using tools like Composer or Webpack or using different kind of structures, or if I come across a project that's built using an MVC type thing like Sage, I can now confidently take that on because I've acquired that knowledge from working outside of WordPress.
The other thing that Laravel was my first real introduction to testing, proper testing. Because I'm not going to lie, I didn't do any testing for the first 5 years of my career. I just you just sort of did your best, hope that it worked, and then if anything went wrong, you fixed it. Laravel makes the process of building tests in PHP, use a PHP unit, pretty painless. So painless, the fact that you do get kind of addicted to it a little bit, but it's nice to know you just build your tests, you run your tests, and it makes the testing easy. And that was a nice learning, nice introduction via that that I've wheeled back into the WordPress side. So
yeah, that's cool. Anything else along those lines then that you've brought back in? Because I'm thinking, I guess at the end of this conversation, Mark and I, it'd be good for us to think, right, are we going to go out and learn how to use Laravel? And if so, like, what are we going to be able to bring back from that? I guess that's a good question. Like, should WordPress developers learn Laravel? Should you jump in? Is that going to be beneficial to them, like, for their, even if they still use WordPress on, like, in their day job? Like, will learning Laravel make them a better WordPress developer? And, like, things like testing sounds like, we don't do that kind of testing. We don't build unit tests into our WordPress websites. So
it's time consuming. And it's something very often you're on a budget, you don't have the time.
Exactly.
But it's, I think it's a really cool thing to learn. There have been tons of, I don't think it's worth you going, it's not something you're going to turn around and go, right, I'm going to go and learn Laravel now and we'll just do that. I mean, you guys are really good WordPress devs and you know what you're doing and you've got a great business going on. There's no much point, but I think that hunger and the fact that you're even doing this podcast is great. And they're like, Ross sounds like somebody who's just embraced loads of stuff from everywhere. And like, if things feed in really unusual little places. And I think that makes for really good developers who are hungry to sort of just, not this other things, but sort of say, well, is there something we can learn from this and wheel it back in? I think you could do a lot worse than look at the Sage 10 thing, because it's like a little really bit good. In between. There's some really nice principles in there without you getting too sidetracked. But I definitely do think it's worth just dabbling with it and try to do that first installation and just see where you get to. Because honestly, you can have the Laravel like out of the box page up and running in a few minutes, like he said confidently. But honestly, it probably even from a standing start following their documentation, I guarantee you could have it running in 10 minutes, and then you'll tweak something. It's like a create React app. You can get the create React app running one line of code, and suddenly you run localhost 3000, and bang, it's there. Mm. That's another thing Laravel does nicely. It's just out of the box. You could run a local server. It's got a command, artisan serve, and there it is. Your site's there. Yeah. You don't need to set up MAMP or any like local vagrant box or anything. Well, it does help to do that eventually, but just for a bit of tweaking and testing, you can have it running completely self-contained with no additional stuff quickly. Yeah. So yeah, have a play. I mean, you might be surprised. You know.
You'll
pick up.
I've been haunted for about 12 hours by something that my friend Ian Paulson said on Twitter last night that I don't know if it was related to this conversation at all. I don't know if he was preempting us, but he said something on Twitter a lot. And sorry if I misquote you, Ian, if you're watching.
He is watching.
He said something along the lines of, like, don't go chasing the new shiny framework /tool/thing because, like, the best thing for getting your job done is probably the old way that you already know. And I want to quote him on that because I think he's dead right. I think, like, if you've got work to do, if you've got a project that you need to get on with, then pick the tools you know and go and do a good job of it. Maybe you could adopt a small aspect of something that you're bringing in from elsewhere into that project. And each project that you do, maybe you're doing a little bit at a time and learning. Like you guys, you've been doing your Gutenberg block development. You've been incorporating that into projects. And I think, you know, everyone in WordPress is doing that. We're learning Gutenberg block development as we go along a little bit. So that's great. But I think there's then this other thing, which is what can you try? Like, and you need a bit of spare time to do this. I personally have been in lockdown with two kids at home and like I've had very little spare time. So I've not been doing much of this. But if you've got some spare time, go and dabble with something outside of the WordPress world. Go and see if you can create to-do list app in Laravel by reading through the docs. And, you know, maybe you just learn a couple of bits of command line stuff as you go, or maybe you learn like one. I'm really keen to like pull tools through from Laravel world into WordPress world. And that's what Beyond WP that I've set up is kind of about. It's about bringing knowledge and tools that I've learned about from being in the Laravel community into the WordPress community. So this little tool called Tinkerwell, which is an app I run on my Mac, where I can type code in the left-hand panel and it shows me the output in the right-hand panel, and I can connect it to a Laravel app or a WordPress app. So I can actually, in this thing, I can just like try out WP queries and see what the results are in almost real time.
Wow.
And it's like, it's 12 or 15 quid or something.
But
it's
really good.
Insanely useful little application. Stuff like that, things like learning what the different SQL apps are. So instead of running PHP, what's it called? My PHP MySQL, whatever that thing is, that you run in your web browser. Actually having a desktop
PHP
app.
PHP MyAdmin.
PHPMyAdmin, that's the thing. But actually having a desktop app like Querius or Table Plus or something that lets you manage your databases properly from a proper desktop app is like, that's incredible advance in what you're able to do and efficiency and working. So, and yeah, maybe you've learned a bit of command line learning, Composer and Laravel commands, and then you go, well, actually, there's then WP CLI. So can I learn a bit of WP CLI and use the command line knowledge that I learned over there to do WordPress stuff over here? So
that was something that I didn't go near WP CLI until I got familiar with Artisan, the Laravel command line tool. And then I thought, well, WordPress has got some of this. And actually, you know, once you start using it, it's brilliant. It's really, really great. And suddenly you can just write and save little shell scripts that you can run them once and it'll just build out stuff that normally takes you a bit of time to do. And I would never have bothered with that if it hadn't been for Laravel. Gross is right, but I'm definitely my own worst enemy. I view every project as an opportunity to learn something new. And I'm definitely my own worst enemy with that. I don't chase the new hotness, as it were. I know what my tools are, but I think, right, this project, I'm going to do it in TypeScript. And the pain, the agony, and then I'll, and this project I'm going to do, you're going to learn all about Laravel resources in this project, and then it's like having to relearn the way you think. But ultimately, you come out the other side a better dev. And it's just, I honestly do think that hunger to explore and that's what keeps me, that's why I do it.
I think we're, sorry, yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, I still haven't got my head around WPCLI, I'm afraid.
I'm going to train you after this. Get on a call with me and I'm going to show you.
Well, I'll take you up on that. I think that's,
great. I'll take you up. Exactly. It's like, just how to install it. Once it's installed, it might be helpful. Anyway, so I've still got that. But I just wanted to come back because you mentioned something that Ian said there, which is, that's my mantra. Just keep it simple. We overcomplicate things so much as developers. But then that kind of contradicts what we've just been discussing in that learning something new is a good thing. And, you know, maybe installing Laravel and just having a go, can you get it working? So I suppose, where's the line between like, no, I'm always going to use these things because I've always done them, and then, well, I could have a look at this because it might be better. I think that's maybe not a question for now, but it's an interesting point. There's obviously a line where you've got to say, well, no, I'm gonna look at this and I'm gonna have a look at this new tool because it might be useful.
And I think, Mark, I think we're on the wrong side of that line, and I think that's why like conversations like this are so important, because it's really easy, especially for us, just to be insulated, and especially with the kind of WordPress community being sort of shut down in terms of no meetups and WordCamps, and it's really hard to learn from other people. And I think we need to be a bit more deliberate, a bit more mindful about like pushing our development skills forward in these ways, and just taking the plunge a little bit and being curious. And sounds like there's a lot to gain.
And if I could get a bit sort of go up to philosophical level a little bit, I think if you're a WordPress dev, I think you can, I sort of did this JavaScript or like other PHP things earlier. I think if you've headed off into React and building native Gutenberg blocks, I think there's a ton of exciting stuff going on over there that's really, you know, that's a place where you can push the boundaries of what you know and learn new interesting hot stuff that's going on over there. But I think if that's not something that you've stepped into and it doesn't, excite you, then the other way to go is to step out into what are the other PHP frameworks. Laravel's the big hot one that's going on right now. There are others, and there's other stuff going on in the PHP world. But if you consider yourself a PHP developer and you really struggle with JavaScript, which I relate to a lot, then heading off this way. And the thing, sort of philosophical thing that I get from the Laravel community is there's this enormous buzz. I think if you're a PHP developer in WordPress right now, not to hate on it, because we've said we love WordPress. WordPress is great. It does a great job at the things that it's good for. But I'm just not excited by what's going on in back-end WordPress stuff right now. And over in Laravel world, there's a ton of incredible stuff going on in terms of improving experience for developers, tools like Tinkerwell and Hello, and developments in all kinds of different ways. There's a thing called Laravel Livewire, which basically eliminates the need to use JavaScript at all when building applications. It's just, you can tell from my voice and my actions, it's an exciting place to be. And that's why I'm keen and eager to stay a part of that community and to pull it back into WordPress.
Yeah.
I can see a YouTube live coming on this. Mark tries to get Laravel working.
Let's do it.
From start to finish.
Very good. Yeah. Oh, cool. We're gonna wrap up shortly. Few more questions. One big one, but we'll try to keep the questions or the answers succinct, I guess, is there anything you'd like to see WordPress pull into core from, like, can WordPress itself learn something from Laravel, and if so, what should that be?
Documentation. Make the documentation not shit, which it is. It's appalling.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to find anything. It's terrible. So it'd be great to get the docs up to speed. I'd love that.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. Ross, anything from you?
Sorry, just linking to that. Obviously, WordPress is open source, so everyone can actually get involved with the doc. Is Laravel open source? Is it paid? I don't know.
It's entirely
open source, but it's supported by some very, very smart people with good business heads on who have developed, like, paid products and services on the back of it. So it's not going anywhere. There's a team of really good people maintaining it. Taylor Otwell, who's like the creator of Laravel, he's made like $10 million in 10 years or something, and so he's expanding and growing his team and developing amazing new products with that.
Cool. Sorry,
that was like a curveball that you threw us in the pre-show chat, and I was a bit like, it kind of depends which way WordPress wants to go. I think if it's going to carry on down the Gutenberg line, then I'd love ACF to be pulled into core or something like it. A few years ago, I'd have said I want post-to-post relationships. I think that's the thing that would open up a whole new world of being able to do stuff in WordPress, that being able to link stuff together through post meta is just really clumsy and horrible with.
Yeah. Yeah. Would that need a new database table?
Yeah, I think so.
In WordPress, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I can't see it happening with the focus of Gutenberg, because Gutenberg is just, here's a page with all the data stored in the page content.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough. And
cool.
Last one, WordPress has a thriving ecosystem. Is there something similar in Laravel? I think you've kind of answered that, but anything else to say on that?
There are some really good guys. Spatier, a team that spring to mind, a bunch of guys out in Belgium. There are teams who are making really cool Laravel packages, kind of the equivalent of plugins, really. Not quite. They don't really have a plugin installation system at the moment, but it's easy to do with Composer. but they are doing some beautiful stuff to make, again, take the pain out of some of the other things that are tricky to do, like roles and permissions and media handling and all that kind of stuff. Because you remember, like, WordPress that comes out of the box with great media handler and all that, Laravel doesn't, but there are packages. So there is a whole ecosystem built around guys who are developing and doing these packages, and they're a lot of open source stuff. So there's a good thing. I don't think it's quite to the same extent as WordPress, just simply through the sheer numbers, the number of people using WordPress. But I just find, I don't know, just since, again, Ross is right, since the split, since Gutenberg came into play, I just find that the split and people talking about it and with the way people are using it has just split down the middle a little bit. There's guys who've gone fully into the sort of JavaScript side, guys who are sort of still digging around trying to do the old school way, and that has made it a little difficult, I think. It's almost like you're talking about two different things. I know it probably sounds a bit daft, but that's kind of how it feels at the moment.
Yeah.
And that for me, I find a little hard. And
it's like a bit of an identity crisis at the minute, I think, in WordPress. But yeah. Interesting. Well, I don't know about you, Mark, but I think we've got some new things to investigate and play with and follow up on. Thank you so much, Steve and Ross. I really, really enjoyed that. Yeah. You guys are full of excellent knowledge, and I loved it. Hopefully our viewers got loads from that as well. Thanks for tuning in, those who tuned in. Thanks for your questions. If you posted questions, sorry we couldn't get to all of them. Steve, Ross, anywhere people can kind of follow up with you if they want to kind of contact you directly, what's the best place, Steve?
Code with Feeling on Twitter.
Cool. Code with Feeling. Excellent. Ross, how about you?
There aren't many Ross Wintles in the world, so all you need to know is I'm not an Australian cricketer. And you can find me pretty much anywhere. I sometimes go under the name Magic Roundabout, which is a fantastic road junction in my hometown of Swindon. And just going to hold this up so you get it right.
Yes.
If you're interested in this kind of stuff, I've set up the Beyond WordPress or Beyond WP newsletter. It's at beyond-wp.com and beyond_WP on Twitter. So look those things up. First newsletter's coming out shortly. And the whole point of that is to try and get some of my excitement and enthusiasm and the tools and stuff I've learned from Laravel back to delivered into the inboxes of WordPress developers. So
awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm subscribed.
I've signed up.
Yeah, hope everyone else. Speaking of subscribing, if you find this show useful today, please do subscribe on YouTube. We've got some really good shows coming up. We've actually booked in a lot of guests for the next few months. Mark, have you got a little summary of what we've got coming up?
I have. So next month, that is October, and it's going to be on Tuesday, the 13th of October. We have got an episode all about pricing WordPress products and services and everything else in between. And for that, we've got Tom Hurst joining us and also Jack McConnell. So they'll be our guests on the October show. And then we've also got some episodes upcoming on marketing, and we've got a second episode on building themes with the block editor as well coming up shortly.
We've got some ideas for a Christmas special, which should be fun.
Oh yes, we have, yeah.
So that'll be good. Yeah, again, if you like the show, please like, subscribe, share. We'd really appreciate it, and hopefully see you again on a future episode. Thanks again to our guests.
Thank you.
See you soon, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Take care.